96.5 KLH, Dave and Doreen, along with the birthday boy, Marcus Allen's birthday. What? Joining us right now is Marcus's good friend, Dennis DeYoung. Dennis.
Kid, how are you? Are you ready?
Good.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marcus. Happy birthday to you. That's first thing in the morning. And I've been smoking a cigarette.
Beautiful.
That was great. And now let's just get this straight. Marcus was not the inspiration for Lady, just so we know.
Actually, the Hunchback.
Oh, thanks.
There you go.
I knew there was a connection.
You know, so Dennis, we've been friends for 20-something years. I've been a fan of your music for 40 years. Yet, on all this time, you never asked me to collaborate on anything with you. Yet, you have a fan, Michael Unger, who's the director at the Skylight Theater. He's a fan, runs into you, and you decide you want to collaborate on Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's pretty good.
Tell us how that happened.
Well, your problem is you never offered me any money.
There it is, see? It's never any money attached, Dennis.
Yeah. Well, here's the story. Many years ago, 1994, I was at Steppenwolf in Chicago to see A Clockwork Orange, and I'm outside the theater, and this young lad on a bicycle comes up to me and says, "Are you Dennis DeYoung?" And it was a dead giveaway. I had a name tag that said, "I'm Dennis DeYoung from Styx, and I'm famous." Mm-hmm. So he said, "Yeah, I'm a huge fan of yours." And I thought, okay, I'm the guy on a bicycle. So he told me that he was the assistant director for Gary Sinise at this particular event. I said, "Oh." And he said, "Coincidentally, I had just begun writing a musical based on The Hunchback of Notre Dame." And I asked him if he wanted to hear it when I was finished, and he said he'd doggone right. So I invited him out to my house, like I did lots of people when I first wrote the music. He was one of the first. And he fell in love with it. He brought Gary Sinise out to my house and a bunch of young and up-and-coming scenic designers, you know, people like that, who all have gone on to become Tony Award-winning people. And we're all in my studio, and I played the entire Hunchback for him, and he's wanted to do it ever since. At the time, he was much too young to be taking on the task. But he said, "If I ever get my own theater, we're doing it." And he did 2 years ago. He became artistic director at Skylight. That's how it happened. He called me up and said, "You want to do it?" It was just before, it was in December, before the pandemic, December of 2019. Listen to this guy.
I got it.
2019. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was supposed to open up the season in the fall of 2020, but we all know what happened. So here we are, and it's up, and I'm going to tell you something. I've been working on it. It's had two major productions. It won a Jeff Award in Chicago the last time we did it. But this production, and through Michael's direction, and we collaborate a little bit here and there, Suzanne? We're sitting in the theater. On opening night, I looked at my wife. I said, "Am I awake? Is this a dream?" No, it was real. It was happening, and it was just, I can't tell you. Tears were streaming down my face, and then I told my wife to stop stabbing me, and then it got better.
So why a Hunchback, though? Why was that the one that you picked to write the music for?
Here it is. It was 1993 when I started. I was on the road playing Pontius Pilate in Jesus Christ Superstar. So I realized right away that I didn't want to be an actor because they do 8 shows a week. It's only 7 days. What kind of stupidity is that? And, you know, I was a rock star, and we're pampered. So I thought, maybe I'll write one. And so Les Mis was all the rage, of course, and Phantom. So I started thinking about Gothic literature and what book story could I get where the author's lawyers were all dead as well as him. And so I look into Victor Hugo and I said, "What else did Victor Hugo write?" And, of course, there was The Hunchback, and I remembered a scene, the 1939 Charles Laughton movie with Maureen O'Hara. And I thought, hey, let me buy the book. I never read the book. So I went and got 5 translations. I finally got one in English, and then it went faster. But So, and this is a true story. This never happens to me. You know, I'm a Chicago Southside guy.
Right.
I'm not into the hoodoo, foodoo, sushi, poopoo. Oh, listen, it's new age. No, it's nuts and bolts to me. I'm reading the book. There's this scene where the priest Frollo, a young priest, he takes in the hunchback as a baby. It's deformed, of course, and people want it burned because they think it's the devil's work. And he adopts the baby. Now, the story, strictly from Hugo, paints Frollo in a rather, I don't know, weird, he's a weird alchemist, priest, archdeacon kind of character. And all the other people who have ever done the story, movies, whatever, musicals, they always paint Frollo as an evil, you know, one-dimensional kind of character. I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if this young, naive priest wants to adopt this deformed baby because it's the only chance he's going to have a son. He loves him, nurtures him, and then one day he sees a gypsy dancing in the square after repressing his normal sexual appetites as a human being for 20 years. Something snaps in him, and he becomes obsessed with this girl that actually leads to him murdering somebody. So I thought the arc of the fall from grace of a good man who you know, because he believed in an ideology or a dogma, whether it's religious or political, destroys his life. That's the story I wrote. And when I read that, this happened to me. Honest to God, I'm reading the story about where he takes the baby in his arms, and these words came off the page and said, "Who will love this child?" So I went, wow, I'm in Fresno, California, at the Hilton, and there's an earthquake. That same day, it was big. And I went to my little Casio, and I started writing the music. I wrote three songs that day, and "Who Will Love This Child" was the first. And the operative words in there, "For I fear we all shall pay if no one here will say who will love this child."
Wow.
And that's the story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Did you use the disco pre-beat rhythm on that Casio? When you're writing?
Yeah, I had a Grandmaster Flash CD, and... I didn't use it. But anyway,
I read where you and your lovely bride have spent some serious time here in Milwaukee, like actually living here for a while. How's it been?
Suzanne, she's right next to me in bed because I had to come in the bedroom. Don't get any ideas, you kids, only because Marcus said, it's too echoey in the kitchen. Okay. How we've been doing here, Suzanne?
Well, it would be better if you let me out of the bed so I could go shopping.
No, I don't think it.
There's a lot of good shopping in the third ward.
I know.
Yeah.
I drive by. I can't get out.
Now, here's what we did. Listen, when COVID hit, I had a tour booked because I had a new album coming out in 2020. And we just went underground. We stayed in the house for 2 years. We didn't get vaxxed right away. Not because we're anti-vaxxers, but because we weren't going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We said, the heck with it. Because, guys, I've been everywhere, and it's overrated. Trust me.
Everywhere's overrated?
Oh, man, is it ever.
Okay.
Because remember what Dorothy said? Anyway, there's no place like home. So we stayed in the damn house. We never took carry out. We went to doctor's appointments as needed. But we cooked every single meal. So we went from there to getting back stuff to coming to Milwaukee, to standing in front of 20 people singing in my face. What's wrong with me? So that's what we did. And we've been here a month. But Suzanne, here's what she did. She made baggies, how many, 30 more, of spaghetti sauce and meatballs and Italian sausage. And we had a bunch of frozen chicken, and we ate every meal in our apartment because we have, you know, we have the facilities. But it's been great. I love Milwaukee. Good grief. I've said it before. Wisconsin is the state that I played in more than any state except Illinois,
right?
Because obviously I live there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great. And Michael Unger is brilliant. The production. I don't know if you've seen any of the reviews. They've been almost embarrassing. Remember when I said almost? It takes a lot of embarrassment. So they've been so good, and the people
fantastic.
Have been so kind up here. So there you go. It's been a nice thing here.
Awesome. Although during your stay, I have invited you over to the house, and since it's my birthday, I am making my special spicy chicken soup, which, of course, you are invited over for when you want to come over, my man.
Yeah, that's likely to happen. Like Putin is going to get a soul.
Well, at least you're honest, Dennis.
Okay, let me just say this. My friends don't see me. It's all on Zoom.
Right.
You know, and it's just it. I'm old. I'm 75. And here's the deal. In 1998, I got a terrible upper respiratory virus.
Okay.
It ended my stay in Styx. It did, because I couldn't get better for over a year and a half.
Wow.
And when I first got it, I went to the doctors. I said, doctors, I lost my taste and smell. And I have all these symptoms and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I still suffer from it. All these years later, we all suffer from something. And I'm just not going to take the risk because if you want to hear Come Sail Away, I'd be happy to,
sing it for us now, right?
I direct you to YouTube. Yeah. Anyway,
That's why you're so great, man.
I look rather. I actually look kind of cute there, in like a weird Barry Gibbs sort of way.
Nice.
All right, you guys wanted to sing "Come Sail Away."
You go ahead.
Aren't you guys going to sing with me?
Sure,
Marcus. Yeah. What's the deal here?
I'm ready for you.
Oh, okay. I don't think want me on this.
Here we go. honey, give me a shot of whiskey.
Okay.
I'm sailing away. Set an open course for the virgin sea, 'cause I've got to be free, free to face the life that's ahead of me. On board, I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on.
Oh, man.
How did I do? I was lip syncing.
That's first thing in the morning, a cappella in an apartment. What do you
Fabulous.
Want?
That was amazing, Dennis. No lie. You are an amazing dude. Got to go see Dennis at the Hunchback Skylight Theater. Skylight Music Theater is 158 North Broadway. And you're going to run at least a couple more weeks, right?
Through the 12th.
June 12th, we're talking about extending. We're gonna move it to the main stage, the Budweiser stage. It's Summerfest. No, we're not.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
no.
It's great. It's great. I love Wisconsin.
We love you, man. We really appreciate your time today, Dennis. And
thanks for sharing my birthday with me.
All right, take care,
Dennis DeYoung, on the Morning KLH.